On today's episode, we talk about the big game. That's right. What you're thinking about is the same thing I'm thinking about, which is Liverpool versus Manchester United. We talk a little bit about Trent Alexander-Arnold. Should Liverpool just sell him right now?
Let him go already. All right. We also cover a bunch of the other Premier League matches. A lot of stuff going on in Europe. Vinicius out in La Liga getting another red card that maybe did not deserve, but a lot of drama to say the least. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
So my mother-in-law, it was her birthday, and she wanted the whole family to go bowling. And I was like, are you sure? And I told my wife, I was like, you have fun, and then let me know how that goes.
I don't mean to interrupt, but weirdly, my mother-in-law, it was her birthday, and we went bowling like a month and a half ago.
Bro, they talk to each other?
Maybe there's something going on.
Well, I don't know where you went. We went to a place called North Arlington Bowl. Have you ever heard of or been?
No.
Okay. It's where I had my, I think, 10th or 11th birthday.
All right.
And this place has not changed.
Yeah, most bowling alleys have not modernized at all.
Someone said this. Have you noticed that the only bowling alleys we go to are the ones that have always been around? There's like no new bowling alleys have been created outside of like the nightclub-y ones, right?
Right. Because they're all getting replaced by Dance Dance Revolution Studios.
Yeah. What year is this again? Are we doing this podcast in 2007? So I went, and dude, it was kind of a trip, dude, to see, like, I haven't probably been in that building since then, maybe a couple years after that.
Yeah.
I haven't been in there, but I had, oh my God, I remember going out that door on my birthday. I remember over here is where we did the cake. It was kind of trippy. It was kind of weird. A couple of things I learned. One, I don't think they've changed the oil since then in the restaurant portion of this place.
Okay.
My nephew got the chicken fingers and french fries. I was like, yo, I'm going to steal a french fry. And he goes, go ahead. I took a bite and immediately regretted eating said french fry. It tasted like... You know how like a restaurant smells in the kitchen?
Yeah, it's a very different odor.
That's how it tasted. I'm like, oh, bruh, wow. Like y'all ain't clean these machines.
It made it to the plate.
Yeah, I was like, oh, boy. And yo, here's the something I learned. So we were there early, right? We went early on Sunday. So I actually watched the United game from there, right?
Okay.
You know how like, I didn't know this, early in the morning, the people who go to bowling alleys are like people who take bowling very serious and they bowl by themselves.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, they're there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after that, a bunch of families show up, right? Mm. Kids, sticky fingers, touching everything, right?
Okay, yes.
Here, I didn't realize.
Onyx was there?
Yeah. Wow, that's a reference. Guys, look up, go to oldheadhiphop.com. Did you know there's bowling etiquette? Did you know that you're not supposed to go at the same time the guy in the lane next to you is going? One of you kind of go first?
You're not supposed to go at the same time.
You're not supposed to like walk up and shoot at the same time. You're supposed to kind of wait.
Especially if they're a serious bowler.
Of
course, yeah.
Are you serious? You know what I mean? You ain't wearing one of them shirts with all the logos on it, right? I ain't seen you on ESPN.
Because it's going to be, you know, who do you think you are? I am. One of those guys.
That guy. If that guy was there, I'd let him do whatever he wants. Who do you think you are? I am. That's who. That's right. I pissed off the guy next to us because... He was in his second, what do they call it? Second frame of the shot.
Yeah.
The second portion of his shot. And I was about to go. And then he waited. And I was like, no, you go. And he goes, no, go ahead. And I go, no, you go. And then he didn't get the spare. And you know, the whole drive home, he was like, that mother, you know what I mean? He blamed the whole day on me.
Hilarious.
He probably yelled at his kids because of me.
But how'd you bowl, bro?
Won the first game, and my brother-in-law got his own ball, dog. And let me tell you something, I also ruined his day by winning. I took a picture of it so that y'all believe me, too. I need y'all to see
it. Yeah, mate, send it to Carter.
Scores ain't amazing, but here, I'm going to show you just so you see it. Don't touch my phone because you've been sicky. Look at that, Alexis. That's a 116. Now, that's not a great score, but that's number one on the list.
But that's pretty good compared to, you know, you crushed mom and dad.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I saw dad, I said, I got to beat him just for the vibes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But come on now. I'm going to send this to Carter so y'all see it.
Make sure you send that to him.
Y'all need to see the vibes, bro.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed bowling. You know, maybe if that's a thing you haven't done in a while, you know, maybe we reminded you that go to your local bowling, support your local bowling
alley. Yeah, dude, support your local. It can't just be the drug dealers in the corner. You know what I mean? Other people need to go in that building.
Yeah, I went there and it was, I was the only person of color there.
Yeah.
That's usually. That's
North Arlington Bowl, you would have been a lot more comfortable in. I saw some dude wearing Irvington Bowling League shirts.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, my peoples are here.
Yeah, bro. My wife was wearing, I think she was wearing like a pin like in support of like Gaza or something like that. And the looks in the room were pretty remarkable.
I'm sure.
So
where'd you go? Is it the...
This is in Montville.
The Israeli consulate?
Have a great bowling alley.
Yeah, great bowling alley.
They're so limited nowadays. Yeah. So you got to go. You got to go when you can. Yeah. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are the Cooligans. We are here, as always, right on Yahoo.
Say that a couple times. Do that with the speed.
All right. Okay. Still, my finger's still functioning in 2025.
Yo. Your girl jealous right now, bro.
Okay, sorry to you know, ruffle some feathers at home.
Bro, you getting a cold stare in that car drive right now, bro. How come you ain't that fast with your fingers, bro?
But we got a lot of Premier League matches to go over. Again, you know, given that the transfer window is open, there's a lot of rumors. There's already a bunch of moves that have already happened, so we're going to go over all of that today. So a lot of European footy chat today.
There's a lot of conversation. In fact, we got to talk about the biggest game, right?
The biggest game.
Liverpool versus Manchester United. What are we? Have we come up with a name for this?
The big game.
The big game. No one's ever thought of that.
We're taking it.
Yeah. Hit the T with the M on that, on that joint right there.
It is ours.
No one's thought of it, you know? Okay. You
know, so if I catch anybody saying the big game.
You know what? In fact, if this upset you that we said it, you know who you could sue? Carter, all right? Sue him right now if you got the ball, dude.
All right.
Let's talk about Liverpool versus Manchester United. I'm gonna make a statement. I want to hear your reaction, okay? Based on this game alone, the biggest game that Liverpool have played in a minute versus their biggest rival, who were in 15th place.
Yeah.
And they managed to let them equalize in the dying minutes. I'm gonna say this. I want to hear your reaction. I think based on this game, Liverpool should sell Trent Alexander-Arnold to Real Madrid in this transfer window.
Wow. So I'm gonna respond with a no.
Okay. End of show. Thank you for coming.
But I'll give my reasoning. So you're essentially saying that having Trent Alexander-Arnold on your team puts you at risk of essentially throwing away their title.
Not
hopes.
Exactly. But okay. I will say Trent Alexander-Arnold made Diogo Dalot look like Dortmund Aubameyang. Bro, I am not, this guy is in right back, and he was playing attacking on the left-hand side, the opposite side of where he normally plays, and he was attacking with the freedom of one of the best left-wingers. Well, who is this, Neymar at Barca? There's no reason why you made this guy look that good. And by the way, Diogo Dalot has spent the last so many weeks under Ruben Amorim making safe passes, turning inside, passing square passes back, making all the safe passes. Every time he got the ball, his first thing was to run. Clearly, this was a tactic by Manchester United to attack down the left-hand side, and they were wildly efficient down the left-hand side to the point where it's very clear that Trent Alexander-Arnold has an incredible skill set. This man, when he can sneak into the midfield and become that overload, not many players in the world are as good as him in that. But when you ask him to defend, the position sometimes calls for that, being a right back. Uh-huh. If you ask him to defend, he becomes a liability. How have you sat next to Virgil van Dijk for this long and not learned anything about defending? This man, and I'm not saying that they're better off without him. I think to some degree, it might be tough for me as a player on this pitch, or maybe even someone in the coaching staff, to really trust Trent Alexander-Arnold in a big game if he's being, you know, sort of picked on. If the point of the attack is to go after him, you've now got to shuffle everything. It almost feels like someone should be behind him helping. And I'm like, you can't. He's the defender.
Right.
He's the last guy. So I think if you're going to get any value out of him, remember, he leaves on a free. You got him on a free. But still, if you can get any value out of him, and you've got, what's it, Connor Bradley, who can come in and do a job. He's not a bad. He's not offensively anywhere near.
And that's where my argument will go, is that, I mean, the last few weeks, we haven't
been hearing these murmurs about Trent Alexander-Arnold and his defending because he's been spectacular.
Offensively.
But that, you know, if Liverpool win this game, we're not talking about Trent's defending.
They didn't. They let a 15th place team equalize.
Yes, but it's still Manchester United. And even though
I agree with you, but you can't take the context out of where Manchester United are right now in a relatively historically bad run.
Right, but they have a new manager. They're not a absolute garbage team.
Right, this isn't Everton, is what you're saying.
there's plenty of other examples of teams beneath. You could say Southampton.
It's an Ipswich, although they're playing pretty well right now.
Ipswich looks great.
Yeah.
Manchester United would love to be Ipswich right now. Wolves have their,
they've been
inconsistent.
Yeah.
But Manchester United are not a, they don't have just garbage talent that stumble their way into the Premier League.
Would you agree that they've looked better in this match than they have in the last few weeks under Ruben Amorim?
They looked good when they won against Manchester City couple weeks ago. Whatever.
Yeah, but don't you think they looked really good? Better than most games, other than obviously the Manchester City one, who was also in a really historically bad run.
I wouldn't say they necessarily looked good in this game. I thought it was a pretty sloppy game for both teams.
Yeah, I don't think either one can hang their head.
I don't think this was a representation of like where both of these clubs are currently. Because I thought Manchester United punched way above their weight and Liverpool punched beneath. You know what
and
I mean?
And that's that. My point is Liverpool allowed Manchester United to look a lot better.
Yeah, but the rain was the rain was so oppressive and ridiculous.
I mean, what are we talking about? Rain in England? They've never heard of it before? This isn't Saudi Arabia where it's the first time it's rain. It's rain. This is England. You're prepared for this.
Yeah, I know. It's just I thought the game was overall sloppy.
The pitch was slick. It was like freezing rain.
I rarely have this in, especially watching Premier League matches, where I'm like, why are they doing this? Don't do this. Wait a little bit.
You really thought that? I was thinking like, why are y'all crying about a couple inches of snow? It's like, dog, it's like the first time it snowed, dog.
The snow is the one that they get very rattled by.
It's like if it rains in Arizona, everybody like crashes immediately. I was like, what are you talking about? It's not even that much snow.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go through some of the moments of the game because the first half was fairly.
But let's just finish talking about Trent real quick. Do you think if they were to sell Trent, it would upend their title chase?
I wouldn't say upend. It definitely puts it at risk, especially with a result like this. And you know, Arsenal dropping points against Brighton. This was a great opportunity against a quote unquote very weak team to increase
that lead. Point.
But without Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think it'll be even tougher because look at the pass that he made against West Ham around Edson Álvarez was a thing of just complete beauty. It was art.
Yeah, that's why Real Madrid is the team coming after him and not, you know, Nottingham Forest.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, yes, yes.
Real Madrid doesn't want scrubs. They want great players. And defensively, even though they're not that great this year, they can withstand having one or two really offensive players. Not just the way they play, but the surrounding players around those players. I mean, they're really high quality on every position. Yeah. And also, you're in La Liga where it doesn't have the median level of quality that the Premier League has. Week in and week out, you're playing a much tougher team in the Premier League than you are in La Liga. So you can withstand having a player like Trent Alexander-Arnold defensively, who can be a defensive liability. I understand that it maybe makes it a bit more difficult, this title chase. You have a bit of a buffer. You're up, I believe, 6 points with a game in hand. So you have some space there. You're getting into those latter matches. For me, it's why potentially continue this, have these opportunities where he can really have moments of just absolute blunders for 90 minutes like he had in this. He didn't win one duel, dude. The entire game.
Yeah.
Not one duel. Granted, this may just be like a really bad game for him and it might not be an anomaly, but if you can get any value and get him off your books and sort of wipe away the one liability you have, I would venture to guess if you see their back four go up a little bit, it was all right. So Trent Alexander-Arnold, you have Konate, Virgil van Dijk, Andy Robertson. Andy Robertson is also starting to look old, but that's they're going to go out and get Anthony Robinson. So that's going to clear that. But I honestly think Andy Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, Ibrahima Konate, and Connor Bradley. That presents a bit of a more difficult sort of plan of attack if you're the coach of the opposition team.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you see Trent Alexander-Arnold, you think to yourself, if we can get them in their own half, which is really difficult to do with Liverpool, where they have to defend, we're going to go down the left immediately, because where else would you want to go?
Yeah.
If you have Connor Bradley, you don't have that as an option anymore. That weak link isn't that weak defensively anymore.
Yeah.
And that's my point is, in those sticky matches, you may be able to walk away with like, what, 30, 40? I don't know how much the offer was. Do we know how much the offer reportedly was from Real Madrid?
I thought it was around like 40 or 50.
If you can walk away with 50 mil.
And that's where my head is at. I'm like, the
that's money you could literally hand to Salah.
To leave that money on the table is kind of bold, right? I mean,
and how about this? Salah wants 400,000 a week, right?
Uh-huh.
That's about, what's that, 60 million?
Don't know, but
how much is 400,000 a week? Hold on. I'm gonna do the math here. you're watching. This is live calculator use.
All right. Well, like that's kind of the wild.
Sorry, that's 20 million. You've just paid for 2 years of Salah's contract like that.
Right.
By getting rid of a player that's gonna be gone in 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a calculated decision, clearly, if they know that he can potentially leave on a free. And usually I'm surprised it's gone this long without the, you know, by this point in time, there's usually a story planted in the media to be like, well, Trent bought you see all the jewelry he's buying?
Yeah, yeah,
you know what? Something about the cars or something. I'm surprised it hasn't even gotten to that point.
Well, you heard Trent. He apologized. He said, perdóname, que esto, you know, you already speak Spanish.
Like, oh,
bro.
My God. How long is your streak on Duolingo?
Damn, son.
According to the Daily Mail, it's a little bit of a lowball offer, 20 million pounds.
Well, that's because they know he's going to leave anyway.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
So you...
But you could negotiate that up. Maybe yeah. 50. 50 is a little high then. You're probably not going to get 2.5 times.
Because it's
amount.
Like, does Real Madrid need him right now? Maybe.
Yeah, he'd be a nice replacement for what they have there. But... he's not necessary. They're already in first
exactly.
place.
Exactly. So that's why the 20 mil you offer is just like as a favor.
That's the start. That's a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
you're kicking the tires.
So look, to me, it just tells me Liverpool is trying to win the title and they don't think that they can win without him there. And it could affect the rest of the team, right? He's a very important player. He's
right. Like, who's Virgil van Dijk going to fight? You know what I mean?
If exactly. He's I don't even know if those how valid any of those things are.
The rumors were there.
But. So a couple quick things just from the match itself. We had goals from a penalty from Mohamed Salah. First, it was Cody Gakpo scoring a great goal. But Lisandro Martinez... Just a banger. But it's
as shocked as anyone else. He was up there when the ball got passed to him. He's like, "Y'all passing to me?"
I just blasted it by.
Yo, he cleared it into the goal. He got no other. He don't know nothing about no shooting. He cleared it into the goal.
Yeah, clearly a emotional. You saw him celebrating. He had the obviously having a baby with his partner.
Congratulations to him.
He was very emotional while he was celebrating. The other moment is the handball on De Ligt that led to the penalty from Mohamed Salah. Yeah, if
by the letter of the law.
There was a play a couple weeks ago. I forgot who United were playing. A non-handball call where it was basically the defender was too close to the shot.
Couldn't make a reaction. Yeah,
United fans feel pretty hard done by that because it's. This felt like he was very close,
but his arm was up probably at the wrong time. I don't think he did it knowingly, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
I think there was a little bit of like, given that I committed a handball penalty in my Sunday league final, so
I hope Delict's listening.
Similar stakes, so I know exactly what this man is going
through.
But there's a. As soon as the ball is in the box and then it sort of takes any touch, and especially if it's going towards goal and you're close to it, your brain doesn't know, like, hey, keep my hands down. You're like, part of you is like...
You got to be saying, like, river dance, to keep your hands down.
There's
by
part
your
of
side.
You that is trying to block the shot, but also prevent your face from getting hit. Cause yeah. Like you, and there's no
you're protecting your face.
Yeah, there's no logic to it. Yeah. You just so it just his hand probably shouldn't have been up there, but it's instinct kind of takes.
It actually
over
looked
sometime.
Like he was gonna punch the attacker if had that ball not hit his
sure,
hand.
Sure, yeah,
that's what the motion kind of looked like.
But the
we gotta talk about Xerxes.
Yeah, and so and Maguire. So this was a
right. So Amad Diallo scores to equalize. Incredible. By the way, Amad Diallo, what a baller!
I've been talking about him for weeks. I mean, this is the most important player to Manchester United right now.
I think Bruno Fernandes might say something about that, but I kind of agree with you. I think of the players that have shined under Ruben Amorim, I think Ugarte is there, and then Amad Diallo, and probably there's been moments for other players, but Kobbie Mainoo, I actually think looked incredible in this game. Yeah. But Amad Diallo is just consistently, man, this guy gets the ball, and I'm finding myself agreeing with Gary Neville, something I don't do often. But he shows you something refreshing in the sense that as soon as he gets the ball, he's thinking about attacking a defender. Sure. What I've been begging Martinelli to do, he does. As soon as he gets the ball, he drives at defenders, and everyone else kind of figures out get in space and get prepared for potential cross or a pass. But Amad Diallo scores. Now, let's move forward. End of the match. Manchester United. 15th place, by the way, have a chance to win at Anfield against Liverpool, the most dominant team in the entire Premier League this season. Xerxes gets a pass in space to the left of goal. So he's on the right-hand side, right? He's kind of driving at a crazy angle, not crazier than what Lisandro Martinez shot from, might I add. And he decides in that moment, I think we could show a screen cap.
We could show a screen,
yeah. So why don't we do that? Well, let's go back a frame or two. I think that's important.
Okay.
In this moment, he looks up and he sees a wide open Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
In front, directly in front of the goal with no defender paying any attention to him. Both defenders, one's going to back up the keeper and the other one's going into the opposite sort of the open goal space. So Harry Maguire, to Xerxes' credit, and to Carter's credit, who tried to yell at me before we started, Harry Maguire kind of looks in this screen cap like he's calling for the ball.
Yeah.
Which, Harry Maguire, don't ever do it, okay? that's not your game, man.
Unless you're like, throw me the alley.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
don't keep it on the ground.
Yeah, no. That's not for you, my guy. I trust your forehead more than I trust anything attached to your ankles. Xerxes, if you look here, there's a defender closing in pretty rapidly. But right now, Xerxes has the opportunity to take a very soft touch to his left and have a free and open clear shot at this goal. Mm-hmm. He honestly can even shoot from this position and probably get a clean shot off. Again, it's Alisson. Probably not an easy opportunity, not an easy angle. But I would guess that right now, if there were supercomputers attached to this show, they would say the odds are better for Xerxes, the guy you pay to score goals, who's had a rough go of it, who went into the locker room and cried and wants to leave because he's not getting playing time and they're mad at him for not scoring.
So we know he cried. I mean, I don't know.
He did cry. No, he cried on camera. He was clearly emotional on camera.
All right. Clearly emotional and definitely
cried.
No,
the man had tears coming out of his eyes. What is that called?
I don't know. I didn't see tears.
What are you, a dad from the 50s? I'm not crying. I'm cutting onions in the other room. Leave.
It's a bold statement.
The man cried. Okay. And now you got Harry Maguire. You, knowing you need to score, this could make you a god for a day. You could beat Liverpool at home.
Right.
You're taking that shot versus passing it to me. Open, because nobody wants to cover you because you know that you're going to do exactly what happened, which is bumble this shot.
Yeah, I mean, and this is where Carter and I were kind of agreeing, where it's like, he's wide open. I mean, yes. Does Xerxes, we're looking
Harry
at
Harry Maguire. Think of who's wide open. You, who play soccer every Sunday. Or me.
Right. So, you ain't getting the rock, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Me and Harry Maguire are the same in this situation.
I think in this moment, this is the 97th minute. There's about 30 seconds left
in this
game.
There's 30 seconds left in the game. This would have been an iconic moment this rivalry.
But it's also not a bad idea to pass.
No, y'all are bugging.
It's a bad idea to pass it to Harry Maguire.
And that's the guy he passed it to!
But that's the thing is that Xerxes, this moment is happening so fast.
Nah.
Is he really thinking like who? I don't think he knows who's there.
He just knows
it's a teammate.
Can I make another point? Why are you even thinking of passing?
That's
you're here to score. You got brought into this game to score, to help win this game. You have an opportunity to take a shot on target. You got purchased because of your ability to do this very thing that the universe has resented with you. Not a perfect opportunity, but a near perfect opportunity to do because there's no one in front of you. You have to beat nobody besides the keeper. And you decide to pass it to who?
Oh, Harry Maggs.
Yeah, dog, that's not a good look.
I thought, you know what? Honestly, as the ball was traveling to Harry Maguire, I'm like, yo, Harry,
pass.
Like, dummy it to Garnacho.
Yo, spread them legs, my mama.
Yeah, a dummy here would have been absolutely perfect. It would have completely opened the chance for
speaking of
the
nobody far near post. Him, no one anywhere near close. No one's even thinking of Garnacho.
Yeah,
he 100% would have had everyone had a, would have had a react.
And then we all saw what ended up happening. Maguire hit it over the bar. And it was a bad pass. It took a bounce. I think if he would have kept it on the ground and it did not.
I think Harry Maguire scores.
I think it was a tough shot because it went off of Harry Maguire's shin.
There clearly, this man has no confidence. If he thought I should lay this off,
that's possible too.
That to me shows you don't have, and maybe it's just a confidence thing, but you ain't got the skill set to play for
it's
this just, team.
It's also not a terrible pass. That's all I'm saying too. But
it's
a terrible pass. But I agree. The confidence, I don't think because also,
what does Ronaldo do in this situation?
I mean,
you think he passes?
I think he's further higher up than Harry Maguire. I
think. Think about it. You got brought into this team to score. Hoyland takes a shot. If that's Garnacho on the other side.
Hoyland did take the shot. And
Hoyland would have missed the shot.
I missed earlier in the, on
what
the
I'm
other
saying,
side of the
least
field.
At least these guys are shooters, yo. Shooters got to shoot, dog.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
You ain't here for the assist, Papa.
A great look, the game was sloppy, mistakes, controversy. Onana was great.
What
in
was
goal.
Dirtier, this game or the French fry?
Only the world will never know. Bro.
I think it's a push.
This was a good big game. It was just like
this was a great big
lot
game.
Of goals. Lot of you know mistakes. Mm-hmm. I loved it all. So and
very back and forth too.
Shout out to both of these teams for playing their crap football mm-hmm. in the rain. And it was entertaining for me. I enjoyed it.
Quick question: who gets your man of the match?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm gonna say
Bruno Fernandes is listed on FotMob if he's a man of the match. I'm not sure I agree with that though.
I guess I'm gonna have to say Diallo for the goal. And in general, I like the way he plays and also what he just seems to be so much more important to I think for the heart that is Manchester United right now.
Yeah,
I think it's. You know, Bruno Fernandes has been there a long time. Jaden,
we know where you are.
Yeah, but I'm the new kid here. And I'm here to, like, I love this club. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he doesn't.
We're having a good time, right, guys?
Hasn't destroyed him yet. And so you like to.
For me, it's
like,
Kobbie Mainoo because I think he balled out, but I love the Amad Diallo show.
Okay. All right. We got more to go over, a couple more matches in Europe, some MLS stuff. So a lot more to cover right after this. All right, let's get back to the Premier League and a couple
other games happen.
Other games happen.
That's crazy.
Can't believe they allow that. But yeah. Let's
Didn't
talk.
Did they not hear us come up with the phrase "big game"?
Let's go straight to Brighton against Arsenal.
Nah, bro, we don't need to talk about this. I mean, look, this ended up not feeling as bad because Liverpool also drew.
Sure,
again, I'm an Arsenal supporter, so big fan.
So to all the Brighton and Hove Albion crew listening to this, mm-hmm. Don't say we don't talk about your club.
Ah, how about that?
No, I thought underwhelming from Arsenal, or were Brighton better on the day? Like, were we surprised at all? I don't think, not necessarily. I think Arsenal have been the last few weeks. You know, they had that stretch where they were winning 4-0, 5-0, beating, you know, 5-1 or whatever, having these big stretches of goals. And now with Bukayo Saka due to the hamstring injury, they have to like kind of, other people have to step up, right?
Now his replacement just got injured. Wanyeri got muscle injury. I don't know how long he's going to be out. They haven't said.
So the last few matches, they've been, they were winning 1-0, 2-1.
Yeah, they've
like
been,
that.
This was, I think, their first non-win in a minute. I think they don't have, Arsenal doesn't have very many opportunities to drop points. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think I was texting with someone else who's an Arsenal fan, and he was like, this has to be it for our title chances. And I said, it's on life support, but it's not over until it's mathematically over. And he said, well, the priest has been called, you know, like to the room. And it felt like that, but that was before the Liverpool match. After the Liverpool match, now I'm feeling like, oh, well, there was a good opportunity to make up some ground, which, you know, they don't have very many opportunities to, but everything moves forward. I think when you go up against a team like Brighton at home, they haven't been great the second half of the season, or the second towards the second half of the season. It felt like a team that maybe Arsenal should be beating, especially if you are a title contender. But again, I mean, you hate to make the excuses for to make the excuse that it's injuries, but I think that's the story of why Arsenal looks so decrepit. Maybe Jorginho starting in place of, Odegaard early on. You can kind of sit there and say, like, what was the thought process behind that? Like, why are we giving Odegaard a break here when we have a pretty extended break coming up after this match? Maybe that's an opportunity to look at it.
To me, the weakest point in this Arsenal lineup is Thomas Partey at right back. I understand why they have to do it, but
there's been times where he has looked good, but I agree.
He's just too slow to be in that position, and it's too demanding.
He's been better at defensive midfielder this season than he has in a while. But at right back, he is a liability for sure.
Yeah. So that's I think that was always going to be a challenge in a game like this. But the penalty.
Let's talk about the penalty, because when was the last time you saw a head-to-head in the penalty box be called for, or in the box be called for a penalty? When was the last time you saw it? Because I'm going to say never, because I've never seen it.
I've never seen it, but this wasn't just a standard clash of heads.
Here we go. Didn't know this was Make Alexis Upset segment.
This is João Pedro bringing that Brazilian sauce, that samba that we're always looking for, that we wish Martinelli had.
Yeah.
And he's sort of popping the ball up to himself, getting the head on it first. Saliba's like, all right, let me throw my head in there, get in the game, you know? And then hits him in the head. I mean, he made Saliba look kind of silly. That's kind of...
A little bit, but you could see that, and I get people are saying, like, Saliba didn't hit the ball hit him. You could say the same thing for a handball. There's a lot of, we just talked about one where a ball hits a player that wasn't really meant to be trying to do something to move deflect the ball with his hand. And that just so happens to be the call. The ball made contact with Saliba's head. That, at the end of the day, negates this, because this foul he's not heading the player. He's making a play for the ball.
Yeah.
And it happens to be to a 50-50 ball. That there's a head-to-head collision. That never gets called for a penalty. But when it's Arsenal, it does. Now, Christina Uncle was on the morning show. She said, well, that's not enough of a touch of the ball to say, oh, okay, wipe away the collision.
Yeah.
But if the collision happened on its own, you also don't say that's a penalty. So I'm a little confused as to how this gets called for a penalty. I don't want to sit here and say it seems because of Arsenal and Arsenal get the bad calls, but it starts to feel that way after a while, especially if you're in the same group chat.
I interpret it as João Pedro has possession of this ball. He is controlling the direction of the ball.
So you think he's purposely flicking out of the way so that if Saliba were to get tight to him, he can draw?
I'm not saying he's necessarily trying to draw a foul.
Draw contact.
But if this was an aerial ball, they both went up for it, clash of heads, yes, no penalty. I would never say it's a foul on Saliba,
but
ever.
But Saliba's reacting to the ball going in the range where your head could touch it. So that's what he's going after.
And he doesn't deflect the ball. He touches the ball.
It's deflected. It goes in a different direction.
I wouldn't say it's deflected. He goes for it.
You could play it. It goes in a different direction.
But even with that,
it's a slight deflection, it's a deflection.
João Pedro still has control of this ball. And it's unfortunate, but this is one of them where I'm like, chalk it up to the game and just kind of move on. Arsenal should have been better. This is not enough of a... This is not, to me, clearly not a penalty. So that's why I'm fine with it.
But even if he does, if the ball is a 50-50 in this exact same position, this is never a penalty. It's head-to-head collision. That happens.
Yeah, but given that the context of João Pedro is flicking the ball up and he's still pretty much controlling the ball. He's about
Saliba makes contact with the ball first.
No, Pedro hits the ball.
Go ahead, play it.
First, like with his
head. Play it without showing it so we don't get in trouble.
Right. Okay. Okay, so we'll see. No, so Pedro flicks the ball up. Heads the ball, moves it forward. Boom.
Okay, yeah, okay. So Saliba gets contact second. Nonetheless, there was contact with the ball before he heads.
That is true.
At the end of the day, that's after a touch of the ball. So he got the ball.
Yeah. But he did.
You see how far you're stretching to make this a penalty?
But he did clatter his head into the other guy again, who had control of the ball.
Again, that happens a lot.
But it's not. Again, to me, a clash of heads is aerial ball. Both players go for it.
You're saying the attacker doesn't have possession of the ball.
I'm saying the attacker does have possession of the ball.
No, normally.
Normally, yes. Nobody has possession. They both go for it. Clash of heads. Fine. You would never call a foul on Saliba.
This is the first instinct you and I can remember of a clashing of heads getting a penalty. And there's probably been other times where some of those, the attackers had control of the ball.
I don't know those. I'm looking at this right now. And given in this scenario, João Pedro has control of the ball. Even as he heads the ball, he tried to head the ball past Saliba. Yes, it does hit Saliba, but he still is in possession. He's still in control.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't offend you. This is the anti-Arsenal slant that we have on the show that I think I've been trying to talk to you about.
I mean, it's annoying, and you don't want this to be something that decides.
Arsenal should have won the game otherwise.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to think I'm sitting here saying because of this penalty, Arsenal draw. I mean, obviously, yes, that is the case, but Arsenal should have won. This isn't the reason why Arsenal didn't win.
Correct.
Arsenal should have won outside of that. And maybe if you start Odegaard, who, you know, hasn't been playing the best the last few weeks, if you start him, maybe the outcome is different. And that's just why you lost a clean sheet.
Right. A couple other matches we should mention. Manchester City beat West Ham 4-1. Just Manchester City winning 2 in a row.
Hey,
look at this club. I thought they were the scrubs. I thought they were fighting relegation.
Pep skin looking nice now, huh? You want to hear something crazy? They went on a historic run of just looking terrible. Mm. They're still in sixth place.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a luxury of, of dominating.
Bro.
They can just take
Tottenham been playing they're in what, 12th?
Man City took 2 months off.
Yeah.
And are still very much in a title race.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're out of the title race at this point.
I don't know.
11 points out with Liverpool having a game in hand. I think you're out. Chelsea, I think you're out. Right now, it's a two-horse race with Nottingham Forest kind of getting a shout.
Nottingham Forest is surprisingly...
they look good.
Can't believe that they're even there. But
all their games should be played in black and white based on their tactics.
Are you worried about Chelsea at all?
No, not anymore.
Dropping points two games in a row. Scoring first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they lost... it was Ipswich, I believe.
Who don't look terrible. No, I think Enzo Maresca was trying to kind of let you guys all know, like, hey man, we're not in the title race, bro. We got a lot of things to fix.
But that goal from Cole Palmer, the dummy that Jadon Sancho set up. I'm watching Jadon Sancho at Chelsea.
Doesn't he look happy?
He's just he is with the man.
He's free. The memes, by the way, when like if you just go to any social media and put like Chelsea Crystal Palace, it's all like gang scenes from like London based TV shows.
Sure.
And there's like drill music playing in the background. I absolutely love the memes are hilarious. But Jadon Sancho, man, what a complete, like, this is, if you are Marcus Rashford, you need to be looking at this and going, there's a brighter day tomorrow.
It's just I just need to get out.
Just got to get out of this area, bro.
It's just so great to see moments like that. And again, Jadon Sancho wasn't even, there weren't even like potential, even glimmers of things like that when he was wearing a Manchester United shirt.
No,
it's just,
but that Dortmund move showed you something.
Yeah.
And Chelsea are reaping the benefits of it.
You got to let Jadon Sancho do what he does. And it's...
Which makes you question, how did Arsenal end up with
Raheem Sterling and not Jadon Sancho and all of this.
The only other club I wanted to give a shout to is Newcastle. They won against Spurs 2-1. Mm-hmm. Some controversy. There are non-handball calls.
Some controversy.
but more than that, Newcastle have won 6 in a row.
Yeah.
And
they look good.
They look spectacular.
Dude, Tonali going back a little bit deeper, playing a little bit more of that defensive midfield role, has just changed this entire outlook of this club. It's crazy that just telling a guy like, hey, stay back a little bit, just completely changes the way a club plays. And also,
hey, stay back a little bit. Don't bet on this game.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a great time.
I prompt, please don't bet on this game. But also, Isak is balling.
I mean,
he scored, what, 7 matches in a row, if I'm not mistaken?
Six.
One match in a row?
No.
Oh, you're doing 1 minute. You get direct eye contact with me and held it but one. You really messed me up there, Carter.
Alexander Isak, is one of the more one of the players right now in the Premier League, kind of similar to kind of, I think, what Salah has right now, the level of confidence when
things are just going his way.
When they have the ball, you're like, hey, something's about to happen.
Bounces, the ball's just finding him.
Yeah. Isak is great. Another match we got to jump over to La Liga, because...
Oh, we're not going to talk about the Southampton 5-0 with Brentford? Did you see the lady winning the shirt?
I did see that.
That's hilarious. So I give you just real quick, like 10 seconds. I'll explain it. A guy who worked for both clubs gets a chance to go to the hospitality suite, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's a fan of Southampton, but he's in the Southampton hospitality. And his mom, who he prefaces in the tweet by saying, hey, my mom, M-U-M, knows nothing about football.
Uh-huh.
But she's up here. Everybody could put in a prediction. Whoever gets it right, the player will give you his shirt, right? She guesses a 5-0 loss to Brentford, which is pretty ballsy. But again, this woman knows zilch about football. She's right. Now, here's what I need you to know about this video. If you haven't seen it, it's a point of view from the table. The son is putting the camera on his mom because he knows she's about to be handed a shirt victorious by saying the club, of which she's in the hospitality suite, will lose 5-0. And she was right. She's really happy. You can kind of mouth her. You hear her saying just before she celebrates, I deserve the shirt. I won the shirt. So she gets old. She gets up. She is full on celebrating. People kind of boo her in a joking manner.
As you should, yeah. It's ironic.
But that's the player.
The player.
The player has to give her the shirt, dude. That's the player. Look how sad he looks.
In a 5-0 loss.
Look how happy she is. And look how sad. This man just got pumped 5-0. And then had to go up there and hand the shirt to a woman wearing their scarf and cheering.
Hilarious. Yeah. Look, she's happy. She's the only one happy in this room. But
that's a cool mom, man. She gets the vibe, but she don't care, bro.
But she knows the club. Her family supports.
Yeah. Bro, she is so happy to have won a shirt. The player had to give her that shirt. That breaks my heart.
That's hilarious.
Also, why do you have to do a whole show of it? Why not just hand it to her off to the side?
Well,
then we wouldn't be talking about it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I don't think they were expecting to lose 5-0. They probably didn't expect anybody to win that shirt, especially with a result like that.
Right.
Sometimes
gamblers win.
That's it.
She took a big gamble.
La Liga. We have to talk about Real Madrid. They face Valencia against Real Madrid. Valencia at home.
Hot button match,
especially with the last few years. With Vinicius has dealt with racial abuse.
Right.
Valencia fans
acting a little conquistadorish.
Supporters have gotten in trouble. Didn't Valencia fans go to prison?
I think some of the guys got,
it was two or three of them that went to prison or something like that.
They've been known to racially abuse Vinny.
So these games are always very...
not all the fans, some fans. At Valencia, though, at La Mestalla.
But this was one of the more entertaining matches of the weekend.
For good or bad?
Both. I mean, Vinicius got the red card. That's why this made a lot of news.
So Vinicius, what goes down, the keeper kind of shoves him. He stands up and shoves the keeper above the shoulder line. Kind of touches the neck, bottom of the head.
Soft. I mean, Carlo Ancelotti was also really upset about that.
Yeah, I mean, the keeper saw it, got hit, looks over, sees him, and then just kind of faints. And immediately they go to VAR.
As soon as Vinicius is the one touching you,
you go down.
It's like, hey, I know what to do.
And it feels like they're picking on him to try to get him to get angry.
Without a doubt.
And it worked. They go to VAR. He gets a red card. They're down 1-0. Real Madrid are down 1-0. 70th minute, if I'm not mistaken.
75th, 76th, 75th? Something like that when the red card happens.
They still go on to win this game, though. Yeah. They come back from 1-0 loss or 1-0, whatever. Going down a goal, down a man at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Luka Modric scores, and then Jude Bellingham gets a gift of a
yeah,
pass.
Even though Jude Bellingham missed a penalty earlier in the game as well. But this game had it all.
All of it.
After the red card was issued to Vinicius.
This was a novela.
It was the homie back.
Yeah.
Hold me back.
He wanted to fight that ref, bro.
Yeah. It was, it seemed.
You know, it was it. Rudiger's next to him. Rudiger knows, like, hey, man. You know, like, like the owner of a pit bull, like, hey, he get real tight to him at the dog park just in case. Rudiger was right there, like, hey, he might pop off if this comes back.
He's
red.
He's sweet at home.
Yeah.
He's very sweet at home.
He doesn't, he protects the kids, you know. So the other one is. Danny Ceballos, Arsenal fans will certainly remember him. Yeah. Danny Ceballos is kind of standing there with a big smile on his face because he knows, he sees the ref pull the red, go to his pocket to pull the red. He got a smile on his face. He's like, oh, this is about to pop off. But then he realized, like, oh, I actually have to stop him from popping off. So he immediately bolts across the ref to Vinny just to protect him. Vinny has to literally get dragged into the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, you watch him and you see how upset he is. And there's a little bit of like, man, this isn't. It feels unfair, but it also, you can't do anything.
Yeah, you can't let yourself get goaded into it.
That's right. He got pushed first, and yes, that was very obvious. But as soon as you like go for the neck area, you know what these players are gonna do, yeah. Man. By the way,
he would have fallen no matter where you pushed him, but because it was the neck, he knew if I make a meal of this joint, this guy's out.
Pretty corny.
And they still lost, which is...
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, it worked
poetry.
Out. But this game, I think it showed a lot of Jude Bellingham, especially to get he got the game tying assist and then he gets the game winning goal. But a lot of... he's not the captain of the team. Is he the captain?
Who?
Bellingham.
I'm not sure. No,
is it Rudiger? I don't know who's the captain of the team right now. But this was to me like a captain level kind of performance, especially after missing the penalty. You were telling me about I had seen it too, but I didn't remember why he did it. But the
water bottle. Bellingham's like, I'm gonna get back at that keeper.
He got back at the goalkeeper.
He goes up to his water bottle, spills the water, like pretty physically spills it out in front of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And drops the bottle. And the keeper's like, yo, come on, man.
I'm thirsty.
Yeah, how am I saying? Now I can't get water. And I love that. The only thing that would have been better is if he took the bottle of water, maybe he would have gotten in trouble for this and tossed it to the Real Madrid fans.
Oh, yeah.
That one you get in trouble, I think.
Yeah, but that spin the water out. I mean
that's deep knowledge of the game.
It's a perfect level of pettiness.
Yeah, dude.
I
saw that and I applauded Jude Bellingham. Jude Bellingham made me so happy in that moment.
And again,
who was the captain?
Lucas Vasquez.
Lucas Vasquez.
Okay.
All right. There was a name none of us would have picked. you sure it ain't Ferland Mendy? All right. Lucas Vasquez.
Yeah. But
Jude is becoming a leader on a team full of really big names.
100%. Yeah. And again, it's just like you're just sort of not used to seeing that from an Englishman. In a foreign country, right? Yeah. Like
you're not used to seeing an Englishman in a foreign country. I'm not playing.
So it's just great to see because I mean he is also he's a young guy. What is he? Is he 21 yet?
22?
20.
I think if you click on his name, it'll tell you.
I don't think
Jude Bellingham at the bottom. There you go.
I cannot click on the names.
Oh, never mind.
21.
So young guy, and again, to maintain that level of composure.
We met him when we were in Dortmund.
He was more mature than we were.
By a lot. Like, I'm not even like a little bit. The man walked up to us with the grace of someone who was like, hey, I'm Steve's dad. Let me say hello to these young guys hanging out with Steve.
Yeah, yeah. And Jude Bellingham is also, a lot of people don't talk about this, and maybe this is the source of a lot of his maturity and confidence. Mm. But he is a biracial child, but he is white dad, black mom, which is not usually the combination.
Are you suggesting that the dad got so much riz that he was able to bag himself?
I've seen this. This is the big TikTok theme and trend that people that biracial children talk about. Being raised in a white mom, black dad versus black mom, white dad.
Yeah.
And it's the essentially the children that come of the different types of relationships are almost like different people, especially when it's daughters. Daughters of a black mom, white dad tend to embrace more black culture in a particular way, like that, or certain or character and things like that. And I've seen biracial children talk about like they appreciate having the black mom because it sort of helped them navigate the world in a little sort of a different way versus a white mom. And wherever you sort of stand on the, I mean, I'm sure there's a research study that will provide probably more detail.
I'm sure there's some research studies by groups we wouldn't want to associate ourselves with.
But I think this is an interesting aspect of the Bellingham brothers, Jude.
Ask Andrew. The Bellinghams. Don't ask your uncles what they think here.
So it's great to see.
That's interesting. I never thought of it. TikTok really getting in. This is why it's going to get banned. y'all really started talking about some wild stuff on there.
All right. What are we going to do? We're going to do some Run It Back after this. So we'll react to a couple things. So we'll be right back.
All right, we're back, baby. Speaking of back, here's a segment we like to call Run That Back.
Let's go.
And this is what? So wild, disrespectful, just some crazy stuff that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, look, the football world is not short of opportunities to disrespect your opponent.
Yeah, you get the stunt on people.
And there's a lot of that. So actually, let's do the first one we'll do. It's much a little bit more notable. And obviously, what's the Roma Lazio derby called?
Derby della Capitale.
Derby della Capitale. And
this one was a spicy one, bro.
Yes. But when I went to Roma, it very much felt like a Roma FC city. I did not see almost anything Lazio related.
ASC Roma, by the way. But will say I got the opposite, man. Everybody I was meeting was a Lazio fan. I'm interesting. Like, yo, are there any Roma fans up in this joint? And then the cab driver on the way to the airport had the tattoo on the back that said, like, what, son of Rome? And I was like, ooh, oh.
So Roma, won 2-0.
This is not like Derby della Madonnina, like Milan Inter.
Yeah.
This is pretty contentious.
Exactly.
They're like opposite sides of the political spectrum as well. This is a wild one.
Very opposite.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay. But this was a pretty hilarious Instagram story.
So Roma wins. I'm not expecting because Lazio is having a great season. And Manu Kobe, Kone, decides, I'm going to show y'all how much we won. So these are my sons.
So he posts up what appears to be a family photo with, I assume, his own children.
Yeah, or like family, because it looks like there's two adults in the background and a couple of kids in front of him. Like, looks like four children.
Everybody's wearing matching pajamas.
Pajamas. Christmas, this is like pajamas. A Christmas photo, for
sure. Yeah, Christmas. Manu Kone is in the center with his family, but he is replaced all the pictures of his family with Lazio players.
Lazio players. There's Tati Castellanos.
Okay.
Who I think has a hair bun, if I picture this correctly. Gündoğdu's there. This is hilarious, but he deleted this.
He deleted the photo, which, don't delete it. It's already up.
Can I tell you, as someone who's done stuff like this, and then you've been like, hey, man, we can't do it. Do it on your own channels.
Sure, big dad,
you say that a lot, right? What sucks is how much work put into this. He went and Googled every one of these players, cut out their faces.
Exactly. Did Canva. I mean, it's a pretty good crop out to his credit. And I don't know. This seems like, look, even after the game, Tati Castellano gets a red card. Like, there was a big scramble and fight, like, in the middle there, right before the match ended. So I could see the desire to, like, hey, let me get one more punch in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. These are my sons.
But The next Derby della Capitale is going to be a little bit there. Even though you deleted this photo will be printed in the locker room.
People going to remember this.
People are going to remember this.
But
one.
Also, hey, you got to beat him.
You got, yeah. So
now do this back to him.
So that's kind of the only problem I have with it is that he deleted it.
Here's the other problem. He's alone He's a lone player. He might not even be there for the next one, bro.
But still, somebody's taking responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody's being held accountable. But no. So credit. No, hilarious to say
the
least.
Would you, if you were a player on a team like this, would you be upset that, like, if you and I were on a Sunday league and I did this to the team, our heated rival?
And we won. You did this to the other team.
Would you be like, yo, you're giving them fuel for the next match? Would you think that, or would you be like, ah, that's funny?
I would think both. Yeah.
Upset though?
I mean, I don't know if I'd be upset. I think it's more funny than upsetting.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, I think the main issue, probably, like you mentioned, he's a lone player.
Yeah, he's like, you're putting us at risk.
It's like, bro, you don't even go here for real.
I know.
And you're making it a little bit hot for us.
That's like if you ever see two people argue at a restaurant or something, and you just walk by and want to be like, really gonna take that from him? Because you know you're gonna start a fight, but you got nothing to do with it. That kind of feels like what?
I'll watch this on TikTok later.
Yeah, Manicone is like, no, next year I'm gonna watch.
Nah, if I'm his teammate, I'm like, yo, I'm walking in the negotiating room with you.
Yeah.
And we making sure you staying.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you got us into this.
Do we got an obligation to buy?
You're gonna see all the signing photos.
Uh-huh.
With me holding my hand
real tight on that shoulder
over his hand as we sign the contract together.
Big thumbs up from you.
All right, we're doing this. Thank you. Blood in, blood out, Manu.
Yo, you talk a big game. Now let's see you back it up.
The other one is we don't really talk about the Corsican. Corsica, which I just learned is an island that is in between France and Italy.
Yeah.
And I thought, based on the names of everything there, that it was a Italian, like, colony or Italian territory.
Right. Well, I think it was at one point.
And that's where, because there are Italian things in there. But then I look at the team that this young man plays for, and they play in the French league. They play in League Two. So I'm like, all right. I got to go on Wikipedia and learn about...
You know how wacky those islands got in the Mediterranean?
Who belongs to... Who says what land belongs to who we are?
There's mad Arabic stuff in Sicily. I don't know if you know that. In fact, Europe probably wouldn't even know numbers if it wasn't for the
Arabs.
So this
is why the beautiful game is educational. Yeah.
Really, you learn a lot about the world based on where's this team that some players flexing on somebody else.
And this man, what's his name? Lamine C. Lamine. I don't know.
Lamine Cisse.
Lamine Cisse. Posted this just incredible photo.
The photographer who took the shot knew what they did exactly when they did it.
Because we're looking at homie on the ground.
Have you ever heard of a term called chipping?
No.
So this is it's supposedly bad for photographers to do, which is take a couple photos and then look down at your camera to see what you got.
Uh-huh.
Typically, you're supposed to stay in the moment, right? Keep looking through the viewfinder. If I know the photographer chipped in this moment, and they was like, oh, I did something here. You got the one coach in the background with the arms out like, hey, yo, that's my man.
So if you're listening to it, we're looking at Lamine Cisse. He is dribbling around
down
a defender.
The wing.
Down the wing on the touchline. And the guy...
He's in full sprint. Like, he looks like...
He doesn't know
world class.
He doesn't know who's behind him.
No, he don't care.
No, it does not
He knows
care.
He got past somebody.
But he knows that... when he saw this photo,
yeah,
he's like, thank you, photographer.
I think he heard a slap and a crunch behind him. Because said, I never heard that sound on a football pitch before.
The defender is face first. Into
there was a song way back in the day that I would hear convertibles driving by, you know, blasting in New York, and it goes face down, ass up. That's the way we like to, and you know,
yeah,
what I was
yeah, we
say
know
next.
Where that goes.
Hey, let's just say my guy, my guy heard that and said, "Let me show you how to do this,"
because that is well put. Yeah. What a perfect song.
Let me tell you something
to accompany this photo.
If you want to understand a little bit about my, you know, formative years, as I learned English, there were cars driving by blasting. Face down, ass up. That's the way we like to.
Yeah.
Okay. And this right here. If you walked in the bedroom and you saw Shorty doing this, you think it was your birthday.
Okay. Thank you. Is it a holiday?
Yo, what did I do? You tell me what I did, and I will do that thing many times over.
And it's not only the
this is like a Diddy party.
This is
what this photo on the right. That's an athlete shot. Photo on the left?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Freak off FC.
Yeah, 100%, right here. Bro. The only person who saw this and said, no, I've been there before is Meek Mill. Is the only person who saw this.
Man. And then not only that, it's not only the move and the photo incredibly disrespectful, but the caption. The caption, Lamine Cisse just puts, see you next year. Exactly. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, bro.
My man.
Yo.
You bringing Allah
Yo,
to
I
this?
Know. Allah like, bro. That's wild disrespectful to use me in this moment. But I'll see you, prayer. Yo, and by the way, the array of blue check marks in this comment.
Yeah, yeah. Because everybody's just like, this is the most disrespectful ish I've ever seen.
And were we not allowed to say that word?
I don't
That's
know.
That's crazy.
I don't
want to
give
word.
Carter anything more of stuff to bleep, but you know what? You know what's going on here.
Yeah.
No, incredible stuff, man. This is
it's like a Renaissance painting.
This is you know, make it art but sports.
Yeah.
This is like, this should be in that as well. So shout out to Lamine Cisse.
Can we learn the name of the defender at some point? We need to figure this out, man.
I do not know, but we know how he likes it.
Damn. That's the way we liked it.
Okay. We know what we need to know.
Damn. Send that man some baby oil.
Okay. All right. Another run that back in the books. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. We have a lot more to cover on Thursday. I know we didn't get a chance to it, but NYCFC do have a new head coach. We'll talk about that in more detail on Thursday. And we're also, we can mention, we're going to be in Miami.
That's right.
For MLS Media Week. So this week's episode is going to be a very MLS heavy episode. Yahoo is sending us. The whole crew is going. Carter is going to be there as well.
Let's
we're going to be in Miami talking to some folks. Is Messi going to be there?
We'll find him, bro. We'll find him.
We have a couple of things we want to talk to him about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We want to bring some stuff up. In particular, sign all these shirts we brought.
Okay. My eBay account is looking a little slow lately.
I got to prove to my wife that spending this racks was worth it. You feel me?
So look forward to that. The episode on Thursday is going to be a lot of MLS stuff over there as we're in Miami chatting with all the folks out there for and getting ready for this preseason. It's already here. It all happened so fast. The game does not stop. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to this show. And subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans, for some exclusive content there as well. And we'll be back on Thursday. Follow us on Blue Sky as well.
Yeah, follow us on Blue Sky. We got some nice motion on there,
that's
bro.
That's popping off as well. So soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky. All right. Gracias a todos por su tiempo. Lo agradezco muchísimo. Thank you, everybody.
I'll translate. He said, face down, ass. No, I'm kidding. Love you guys.
Take care, everybody.